welcome to How to Thrive. So I'm recording this first episode after I was quite sick. It was relatively short-lived, but it was probably the most unwell I've been in quite some time. It felt even worse than when I had COVID with a one-week-old baby. And as I was slowly coming out of the haze of the bug, very grateful it was short-lived, I kept thinking, how am I supposed to host a podcast called How to Thrive right now? I was not functioning at 100%. I felt quite overwhelmed by everything I still had to do. And I didn't really know how I was meant to authentically show up with a podcast called How to Thrive. But I had to give myself a bit of coaching because How to Thrive is not a space where we, being myself and my guests, talk about everything being perfect all the time. It's a space to help you learn how you can thrive physically, mentally, and emotionally in this modern world. I think it's really important to acknowledge that you may not feel 100% in all of these areas all of the time, and that's okay, because that's life. It's perfectly imperfect, and we have to embrace the progress over perfection and the speed bumps and the setbacks along the way. The best part of learning how to thrive, though, is that you come to a place where you can trust yourself when the speed bumps and setbacks happen. You know what to do. You know what you need physically, mentally, or emotionally, or all of the above at that time. You know you best, and because the more you can learn about yourself, the better you can handle what life throws at you and what you need to get yourself over those speed bumps, moving forward from the setbacks, and then being able to get up and thrive. So I want to just reiterate something I said earlier, that how to thrive is not about everything being perfect all the time. I also want to acknowledge that health and what your health is and what it means to you looks different for every single one of you. There may be some information in episodes that really hits home. You think, full of aha moments. But then there may be some information that doesn't really apply to you and where you're at right now. And that is okay. It doesn't mean that information is wrong or irrelevant, because there may be something you remember a year from now or 2 years from now, and you want to find that episode and listen again. There might also be something relevant to someone you know, a friend or a relative. So before we crack into the first episode of How to Thrive, I just want to make sure we're all on the same page that this podcast is about embracing the imperfections and that life is perfectly imperfect, and building solid foundations for your physical, mental, and emotional health will help you get where you want to go day in, day out as the years come by. So let's begin. I'm going to jump back to 2019, pre-pandemic. I was living in London, and after about 5 years, I was ready to jump ship and move back home to New Zealand. I'd been living and working abroad for about 8 years, and it was time to come home. One of the craziest things happened when I was in London one night. I had a dream about getting stuck in London. It was a dream I remember vividly to this day because it was full of anxiety and panic. And I knew that I had to wrap up our time in London. And it wasn't clear why, but I just knew that I didn't want to get stuck there. Jump forward 8 months and COVID enters our lives. And if we had stayed, we would have been stuck. When we came to leave London in 2019, it was August and we were off traveling for about 4 months on our way back to New Zealand. In all honesty, I was completely and utterly burnt out. Everyone kept asking me, do I have a job to go home to? No, I didn't. The thought of a job made me want to cry. I was exhausted absolutely physically, mentally, and emotionally exhausted, and I could not fathom the idea of any job that could bring any sense of joy or fulfillment. But more than that, I had also lost joy in the things I loved. There was such a narrative through work in London about being fit and the look of it and tracking in it and the obsession and the competition. And eventually, I actually stopped running because I felt I had to do it. I had to do it to tick a box rather than the fact that it was something I enjoyed and it was good for my mental health. I also trained as a yoga teacher while living and working in London. And that was a big undertaking. And it was life-changing in itself. And I felt that because I had trained as a yoga teacher and I had done that qualification, then I should be teaching others. But often I didn't have anything left in me to be able to pour into others. Aside from just that feeling of being completely exhausted and completely burnt out, my nervous system was overloaded, to say the least. And I know that as much as London life was amazing and I absolutely loved my time there and I miss it so much, the way of life is not conducive to me, my nervous system, and my mental health. Even while I was there, my gut symptoms from IBS were out of control. I developed adult acne. I definitely wasn't in the best place mentally. And I think it really came to a halt when, you know, I found myself having panic attacks on the tube from both being underground and also just the sheer number of people. I was running around the place with a nervous system on overload, about to crash at any point in time. Yet from the outside's perspective, it's like we're living in London, we're traveling in Europe, we're doing all of these things and it looks amazing. But the foundations of physical, mental, and emotional health were crumbling. While we were traveling, I was still constantly exhausted. I got sick in Nepal as we headed to base camp and again when we were off to another mountain region. So much of it I knew was the mental load I was still carrying, but also so many of the symptoms were flaring up in my gut as well. I did a lot of yoga while we traveled. I tried to manage it as much as I could. And then we got back to New Zealand and the pandemic hit. My gut symptoms, my IBS, reared up again as I took on starting a business during the pandemic, and acne was so hard to control. I had gut powders and lotions and skincare and treatments and medications, and I saw specialists, all of it. The large majority of these symptoms were related to stress and a fierce underlying chronic stress that had been there probably the whole time I was living overseas. And the thing with that chronic stress is it became normal. And I see this a lot in the women I work with. We talk about stress and they say their stress is 7 or 8 out of 10. And that's normal, quote, normal for them. So when do they ever reduce their stress? When do they recover? How do they unwind? And they don't. They say they don't. I believe them. So the stress and the gut was the hurdle to overcome. I ended up seeing a gastroenterologist who loved to explain the female anatomy to me, in case I hadn't realized that my uterus sat right next to my gut and that the gut was heavily influenced by this. And his solution to my symptoms was to get pregnant. I have thought about that conversation a lot since I saw him. I like to believe he had the best intentions in trying to put a band-aid on a hormonal and gut issue that he could not put his finger on. But there's no way in this day and age that it's okay to tell a woman that to solve her gut symptoms, she needs to get pregnant. This irked me so much more than I realized at the time. Women's health, and particularly women with gut issues, are dismissed so much of the time. We get, oh, it's not that bad. Oh, it's just a bit of bloating. Oh, it's just because it's that time of the month. And it gets to the point where it has a debilitating impact on a woman's life. I have had women that I have worked with who stop going to social events. They don't eat outside of home. They stop exercising because they're too uncomfortable. They are unable to feel confident to form new relationships. It encroaches on every part of their life. And the reality is that so often women get treated the same as men, but we aren't small men. We have a cycle. We have hormonal changes every week of the year. And to dismiss the root cause of the problem and slap a solution on it, saying you should get pregnant, is something that has to change. And I knew I needed to start working this out myself because although I have a baby now, at the time, the solution was not to get pregnant. Because of the chronic stress, I had become so disconnected from my body. And with the pills and the potions and the skincare and everything, I was doing everything I thought I should do, everything that blog said I should do, all of these things that I should do. Yet I was afraid to actually work out what my body was telling me. I wasn't listening to it. I wasn't eating to my hunger cues. I was eating at regimented times. I was thinking back to a time before food rules and protocols and all of these different things, to a time where I could just eat for enjoyment. And it was really hard. And I knew that it had happened there at some point, but it was so murky because there had just been layer upon layer of rules and like societal expectations and all of these things along the way. And I even tried to do the low FODMAP diet at one point. And honestly, it wasn't revolutionary for me because of the underlying chronic stress. And the thing with that is it's something I see all the time with the women I work with. Yes, we can make some temporary food changes. We might get some temporary relief, but is it sustainable? No, because we haven't addressed the root cause of the problem. And that's when it comes to taking a step back, taking a breath, and starting to tune in to what is going on the inside. It is hard to tune back in and try and listen to what a body is telling you. During yoga teacher training, there was a quote that we would often come back to, that is, yoga is the journey of the self, through the self, to the self. More often than not, we already know what we need to do to thrive. And the answer is within us already. But due to modern life, social expectations, and all the shoulds and shouldn'ts of diet culture and the fitness industry going at each other, it can be so hard to hear what our body is actually telling us. Learning to thrive is about showing up and listening closely to what the body is telling us, and to what the body is telling us without judgment. What is it that you need to feel whole? What is it that you need to feel whole physically, mentally, and emotionally? I want Maddie to grow up in a world where it's celebrated when women look after themselves, when it's celebrated when women thrive, and when we take steps to look inside of us and work out what it is that we need, not anyone else, but that what we need to be able to thrive. I want Maddie to grow up in a world where women are empowered and confident to step out in the body that they've been given, in a world where we have the right information about women's health. So where is it that we end up? Well, a lot of the learnings that I've taken and a lot of the learnings that I've seen with the women I've worked with has all led to one place in the way I now work with women through the Modern Woman Blueprint. And ultimately, it's about diving deeper. You know, the traditional way of working as a private practice dietitian, it never really quite worked. I mean, you would have an appointment, a plan might be put in place, and then you'll have some follow-ups or some weeks go by, and then you check in again, and there's slow progress, but then everyone's a bit frustrated because there's never quite enough change and there's never quite enough time, and even the smallest changes require daily motivation. And it's also that I want to change the narrative that 20, 30, 40 years of the way we have looked after ourselves as women cannot be undone or altered in a 1 hour session. The thing is, whether it's a woman who has uncontrolled IBS symptoms or someone who's pre-diabetes or whether it's someone who is postpartum, a huge part of their mindset around the challenges that they have with their health is, quote, if I lose weight, the problem will be solved. If I lose weight, I will be happier. If I lose weight, this is what my life could be like. But weight is never actually the root problem with any of these women I've worked with. What I see most often is that it's not even about the weight. It's not even about nutrition half the time. Finding the real reason is where the magic begins. Because what I see is that so often it's about self-worth and it's about coping mechanisms to stress and life events in general. It's about how they have become completely disconnected from their body. The way I have brought my pillars together with the Modern Woman Blueprint is essential for us to be able to dive deeper. It means that we get rid of that slow progress and frustration. It means that we get that daily motivation to be able to make small changes. Even the smallest changes require daily motivation. And most of the time, they also require the accountability for us to be able to do them. And maybe you can relate to that. Like maybe you want to change something. Maybe you want to get on top of your stress. You want to get rid of those gut symptoms that have been plaguing you just in the background constantly for years. Maybe you do want to refocus on your physical and mental health, but you don't know what to begin with. And so often that overwhelm is what prevents us even taking that first step to make a change. And with my program, the whole goal is that it's about empowerment, it's about confidence, and it's about getting you to a place where you feel you can thrive. Because we have to get past the overwhelm and we have to get past the information overload and we have to get past any expectation that all of our life problems are going to be solved in 60 minutes. Because any change that we make when we work together is about a complete lifestyle change. It's like, this is how you want to live going forward. This is not something we do for 8 weeks, 12 weeks, 6 months. This is about putting things in place that you can take with you as skills for the rest of your life. And one thing that I mentioned earlier was about this chronic stress, so this underlying stress that a lot of women have. So they're sitting with this stress. And so often, it's really hard for them to comprehend what is actually happening in their body when they feel like this, because it's become normal. This chronic stress has become their normal every day. So then we need to be able to bring in tools such as the use of First Beat, which I use, to look at, okay, what is actually happening to the body with this stress? How do we look at stress and how do we look at recovery? How is this affecting your sleep? And how does your sleep affect your gut symptoms and your nutrition and your food choices and all of it? It's all linked. So we bring it all together. And the gold of the physiological data is that we see what's happening inside day to day. And then it's a tool to be able to get women to tune back in to what that actually feels like for them. So what is their body telling them? And then they can start to identify, when do we need to bring in more recovery? And how do we respond to different situations? And then how do we bring in a sleep routine? And how do we bring an exercise that's actually going to work for them, help with recovery, help them improve their fitness? And then how do we also map out where the gut symptoms are happening and looking at where the flare-ups are happening and what was happening in that point in time? How is the nervous system reacting when you're having that flare-up of symptoms? I then combine all of this together. We focus on restoring and reviving a healthy gut, reconnecting with the body and the mind. We need to understand what our own body needs for nourishment, not anyone else's, balancing the nervous system and what that actually means or looks like for you, and then finding daily movement that brings joy. And ultimately, for this to work long term, we need to align your lifestyle with your life goals. They need to be working together in synergy. And this is where it all comes together. If you want to know more, I'd love to chat more about how the program could work for you, what it might look like for you, and why we created it. On Instagram, there's a post where I show the modern woman iceberg. And I will dive into that a little bit more in another episode. But this is a really good place to begin to look at what are these things that we need to keep us afloat when life happens. Because it does. As I said, it's perfectly imperfect and life happens. But having that solid foundation of physical, mental, and emotional health that keeps us afloat and that we can tap into when we need it is what is going to help us thrive as modern women today. Thank you so much for joining me in this first episode. I hope there are a few little snippets that you might have taken away with you. And if you enjoyed the episode, please let me know. I'd love to hear any aha moments, any comments. Send me a message on Instagram or leave a comment or even leave a review so more people can discover the podcast. And I can't wait to bring you the next episode. So stay tuned and I'll see you next week.